Okay, tonight we're going to start the sugya of Hanukkah. We're not going to start at the beginning of the sugya of Hanukkah, but we're going to talk about Hanukkah maybe in a subsequent week or in 2 weeks. We'll continue with the sugya until we get up to Hanukkah itself. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Kislev, of course, so we are starting into those inyanim. The sugya of Hanukkah is generally found in only one place, and that is Dapim Kaf Bet until Kaf Dalet of Masechet Shabbat. It only finds its way into Mishnah in only one place. Anybody know where it is? I'd like to ask this question. There's only one place in the Mishnah where Hanukkah is mentioned. Where is it?
I would guess Shabbat.
No, it's not in Shabbat. Hanukkah is not mentioned in Bamei Madlikin. Not in the Mishnayot. It is in, now I'm getting confused whether it's Bava Kama or Bava Metzia. I think it's Bava Metzia, which talks about damages. And the Mishnah talks about how a chenvani, a store owner, he has to be careful about what he keeps outside. Because if he keeps a fire outside, let's say, then if he causes damage, then he has to pay for it. Or if he keeps stuff outside and somebody else lights a fire, sorry, if somebody's walking by with, let's say, a camel, and has a fire on it and causes a fire to spread to the shop, then that person is chayav. And the exception is if the store owner puts his Hanukkah candle outside and it starts a fire, then he's patur. He doesn't have to pay because it's for a mitzvah. So he has to do that. And then the Gemara learns from there that he wasn't able to put it really high. He had to put it kind of at eye level, because if he could put it really high, then he should have to do that. And then he wouldn't be chayav, and then he would be chayav if he put it any lower. But the Gemara says no. There's a certain place that you're supposed to put it. But that's in the Mishnah. It's the only place in the Mishnah that's mentioned. In the Gemara, it's only mentioned in a few different places, mainly here in Shabbat. There's a Gemara also in Sukkah. But mostly, this is the Sugya. Many explanations given for, by the way, why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Chronologically, it doesn't make sense, because Hanukkah was well established by the Tkufa of the Mishnah. So there are different answers that are given, some of them political, some of them hashkafic. Okay. Either way, the Gemara in Shabbat starts the sugya with my Hanukkah, but we're not learning that tonight. Tonight, we're going to learn just about the brachot. How many brachot do we make on Hanukkah? Let's say the first night. How many brachot do we make? Three brachot. So this is the Gemara that tells us that. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi. Amar Rav, ha-madlik ner shel Hanukkah tzarich levarich. Rav Yirmiya amar, ha-roeh ner shel Hanukkah tzarich levarich. Okay. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi introduces us the idea from Rav, who says that when you make, when you are madlik the ner shel Chanukah, you make a bracha. Okay, interesting that he has to tell us this. And Rav Yirmiya adds on that if you see a ner shel Chanukah, you have to make a bracha. Now let's just clarify, what are we talking about over here? When Rav Chiya bar Ashi says, "Amadlik ner shel Chanukah," why does he even have to say this? Isn't it obvious? And then Rav Yirmiya introduces the idea that if you see a ner shel Chanukah, you have to make a bracha. Is this only when you see your own ner shel Chanukah, like after you light your own bracha, light your own ner Chanukah, or is this any time that anybody sees a ner shel Chanukah? So this is what's interesting to us. Anyways, the Gemara continues. This didn't get us the three. Amar Rav Yehuda, Yom Rishon Haroah Mevarech Bet, Umadlik Mevarech Gimel, Mikan Ve'elech Madlik Mevarech Shtayim, Veroeh Mevarech Achat. Okay, so let's clarify what's going on over here. Rav Yehuda says that on the first day of Chanukah, so somebody who sees a ner shel Chanukah, he makes two brachot. And then somebody who actually lights a ner shel Chanukah, as Yechezkel said, he makes three brachot. I don't understand, what two brachot does a person say when he sees a ner shel Chanukah? The only one he could possibly say is the one for Haro'eh. So what's the second one that he's saying?
Maybe it's like a public.
Fantasy?
Yeah.
What's that?
You've
What's
got Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah.
Right, that's the bracha that you make when you're
Shabbat. That's the same as the bracha Taroah. But the first one you can only make if you actually lit yourself. The second and the Shechit, maybe Shechianu.
Not you maybe. Seen. Not maybe.
Blue internet.
Shechianu.
Right. Okay.
Shechianu is the third. So Shechianu right. And Shasani Sim, you can make without actually lighting the candles. That's what the Gemara is saying, right?
Right.
And it becomes clear. And it becomes clear. My Mamaid, sorry, it continues. Mikan Ve'elech Madlik Mevarech Shtayim, Veroem Mevarech Achat. After the first night, a person who's actually doing the brach, who's actually doing the mitzvah, who's lighting the candles, he makes two. And a person who only sees the candles, he makes one. Maimamait. What? Why does it go down? Why does it all go down? Why does it go from 3 and 2 to 2 and 1? Maimamait zman. Because we take away the brach of zman. What's the brach of zman?
Shachianu.
Shachianu. That's the nickname for the bracha of Shachianu. Is the Gemara calls it Birkat Hazman, right? Yaknahaz, right? In Havdalah, when we do with all the Chishuvim about the order of the brachot and Havdalah, when it coincides with Yom Tov, etc., etc. So the Zayin in Yaknahaz is Zman, which is the Shachianu. That's the last bracha that you make when you do things like Kiddush and Havdalah. So. So far, so good. But the Gemara has an interesting question. It says, somebody's on twice. Mamait Zman, which one do you take away? It says you get rid of the Zman. So the Gemara says, V'nimot Nes. Why only get rid of Zman? Let's get rid of also the Bracha of Nes. What's the Bracha of Nes?
Shasanisim,
that's the bracha that you make when you see. Now, why would the Gemara say that let's get rid of the bracha of Nes? If I'm sitting here on the second day of Hanukkah, why would you think that I wouldn't say the bracha of Shasanisim? Okay, well, we'll get back to that.
I guess it depends on when you think the actual Nes happened. You know, I guess you could say that it was 8 distinct Nisim. Or arguably, you could say that it was the first day.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, even if it was the first day, presumably it's an ace that continues, right?
Right. For
days. So if you say it that way, then it makes sense to get rid of the bracha after the first day. But the Gemara says we don't. So the Gemara says, nace kol yom eita. So very good. So apparently every single day was a distinct nace. I guess this is as good a time as any to bring up Steven Pinker is a famous author. And writer and thinker, and he has a great book called The Stuff of Language. And at the beginning, he actually describes the importance of language, and he uses an interesting example. He talks about the destruction of the Twin Towers, and he says, the word act is extremely important. How important is it? How much is it worth? So I think he said it's worth $1 billion. Why is it worth $1 billion? Because in the insurance claim filed after the Twin Towers were both destroyed, both towers were owned by one individual. And he had an insurance claim on the two towers. Now, the question is, he gets paid per act. I think it was active. It wasn't act of God, but per act, right? Per ma'aseh. He actually calls it, he calls this Talmudic thinking. He calls this Talmudic thinking. So he says, do we consider the destruction of the two towers, of the Twin Towers, one act or two acts? They were separated in time by 18 minutes. So in that sense, they're two acts, but they're known as the September 11th. It's, it's September 11th. So it's considered one act. And basically the difference is, does he get paid $2 billion or $1 billion? That's the difference. So in a sense, how many nisim we have is the same question, right? The nes of Hanukkah, is it the nes of Hanukkah? Or is it the 8 Nisim of Hanukkah? The Gemara seems to say over here that it's the 8 Nisim of Hanukkah, which we'll actually get back to later, hopefully. So the Gemara says, all right, well, we're talking about brachot. We didn't say any words of the brachot yet. My mevarech, what's the bracha? So mevarech, asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivan al-hadik ner shel Hanukkah. So this is the bracha that we make on the hadlakat ha-ner. Now, over here, there's a large machloket about the gears over here. Ner shel Hanukkah, ner shelich Hanukkah, Ner Chanukah, what we do with this Shin Lamed over here is a big machlokas amongst the Echronim. I think most of us say Ner Shel Chanukah. That's what most of us grew up singing. That fits the best into the song.
The Lubavitch was saying Ner Chanukah.
Who says Ner Chanukah?
Chabad.
Yeah, also the Gra. The Vilna Gaon said that we should say Ner Chanukah. Actually, yeah, Ner Chanukah. And I think maybe the Sfardim, they say Shelech Hanukkah, like one word, I think. Anyways, that's a big machlokes about this bracha. Vehechan tzivanu. Oh, so now the Gemara asks a wonderful question. We say in this bracha, Asher kedishanu b'mitzotav, v'tzivanu l'adik ner shel Hanukkah. Vehechan tzivanu. How can you say this sentence? When did Hashem give us a mitzvah to light Ner Chanukah? Obviously, he didn't. It's not a mitzvah d'oraita. So how can we make such a bracha? So Rav Avya Amar mi lo tasur. What's this talking about, lo tasur? What's Rav Avya saying?
Follow the dictates
of the rabbinim.
That's right.
Lo tasur mikol asher small is the mitzvah d'oraita that enjoins us, that binds us to follow the laws of the rabbis in all different ways. So he says everything comes from milo tasur. Lo tasur, by the way, is a mitzvah tasei or a mitzvah lo tasei.
Say.
Asei or lo tasei.
Sounds to me like a lotase.
It sounds a lot like a lotase. Do not stray from the words of the rabbis. Lotasur certainly sounds like a mitzvah lotase, which probably is what motivates Rav Nechemya to swoop in and say the less famous line. Rav Nechemya amar sha'al avicha v'yagedcha zekenecha v'yomru lach, which is another pasuk in the Torah that also seems to tell us that we have to listen to the rabbis or to the zekenim, right? Which is certainly written in the positive sense. You should ask your grandparents, ask your parents, and ask your zakenim, and they'll tell you what to do. They'll tell you about the miracles. But in general, these go hand in hand. Some see them as a mitzvah lotase and a mitzvah ase. They go hand in hand to tell us to keep all the laws of the rabbis. So based on this, there's this double jump going on over here. In other words, Hashem tells the rabbis to tell us what to do, and then the rabbis tell us to do the mitzvah of Chanukah, and we can, because of that, we can say Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvotav b'tzivanu ladlik ner shel Chanukah. It's not the only one that we can say that for, by the way. What other mitzvot do we make brachot on that are not daraita?
Nitilat yadayim.
Shabbos candles,
mikra megillah. Right, there's plenty of them. One might ask, actually, in this case, why does it single out Ner Shel Chanukah? Does the Gemara ask the same question by all mitzvot derabanan, or is it only here by Chanukah? That's worth thinking about. Okay, now the Gemara challenges us.
The Gemara resolves it in one instance. Why would it ask it multiple times?
I don't know. I mean, if you've learned Gemara, you know that the same issues come up very often, and sometimes they'll just refer you to somewhere else to answer the question again. It would surprise me that if it didn't show up again, if it wasn't for some specific reason.
Does the rabbi have an answer?
Well, we'll see. Maybe there's a difference between Hanukkah and other things. Let's see. So, Meitiv Rav Amram. Oh, what am I going to ask you?
What meitiv is.
What's meitiv? Oh, very good. What's meitiv mean? What should we expect to come up right now?
If it has a nun in it, then it's...
I have source.
Meitiv never has a nun in it.
Right.
It's a question from? Higher source. Good. So this works because Rav Chia is an Amora. Okay? Rav Chia Barashi, Amarav, they're Amoraim. So Rav Amram comes along and he asks a question based on a Mishnah. Where's this Mishnah from? If I want to find out where this Mishnah is from, I look at the hyperlink Vav, and the Vav tells me it's Masechet Demai, which is not surprising because it's a question from Demai. Okay, Hadmai ma'arvin bo umishtatfin bo umavarchin alav umizamin alav umafrishin oto arum ubein hashmashot. That's the Mishnah in Demai. What's Demai, by the way?
Safek Mu'asar.
That's right. Safek Mu'asar, you have a produce that you got from an Am Haaretz, you don't know whether or not he did Meiser, Trumas and Meisers on it. You don't know. You're not sure. He may have, he may not have. So Midaraita, it's a Safek, you're probably okay. But Midarabanan, we call it Dmai. Why do we call it Dmai? What's the etymology of Dmai?
It's Shema.
It's Dmai. Also, Shemai. Da mai. What is this? We don't know what this is. It's just like manhu, right? Same thing. So da mai. What is this? So the demai ma'arvin bo umishtatfin bo umvarchin alav umizamnin alav umafrishin oto arum. This is the key line. It says here you do have to do hafrasha and demai in order to be able to eat it. But what does it say? For some reason, it's a little bit TMI, but the Mishnah says that you're allowed to do hafreshat truma even when you are arum, even when you're not wearing any clothes. Okay, why the Mishnah needs to tell us this is an interesting question. Probably because the Gemara is going to ask, wait a second. When you do hafreshat truma, what do you have to do before you do the actual hafresha? You set everything up, right. And then what do you do?
Bracha.
You have to do a bracha. You have to do a bracha. Very good. So the Gemara says, "V'ya amarta kol midarabanan bay bracha." If you tell me that because of lotasur, every mitzvah darabanan that I do, I have to make a bracha on it. So then this one, I have to make a bracha too. Hacha kikay arum heichim mevarech. But you're naked. How can you make a bracha? You can't make a bracha when you're naked. If you're mamash naked. V'haba inan v'haya machanecha kadosh. You're not allowed to make a bracha when you are not clothed. V'leika. You don't have haya machanecha kadosh. So Abaye says, rather than trying to explain why this is, you know, a separate case where I believe the Gemara in Brachot says that you may have been lying down or you're not completely naked. Over here, Abaye comes along and says, "Vaday de divrayim bay bracha, safik de divrayim lo bay bracha." So what did Abaye just say? What's his answer to the question?
Safik, if you had all had to say bracha over the mic.
And therefore?
It's a fake bracha.
And therefore, what do we do in this case?
It doesn't demand the same degree of kedusha.
No. That's not what it is. Close.
Lahakel.
Lahakel on what?
Ben Ashmoshes.
No. There's no bracha. That's what Abaye is saying. Abaye is saying that the Mishnah never said you have to make a bracha. The Mishnah just said that you're mafrish arum. The Gemara says, if you're arum, how can you make a bracha? Abaye answers, yeah, you're right. In Achinami, there's no bracha. How do we get away without making a bracha? Because it's only a safek. Right? There's only a safek. Amar Abaye vada de divrayim bay bracha. When you for sure have to do a mitzvah midivrayim derabanan, you have to make a bracha. But a safek, you don't have to make a bracha. So if you have a case of a safek derabanan, then you don't have to make a bracha. That's what he's saying. Or I should say, if it's a din derabanan that's motivated by a safek, that's what I should say. A din derabanan that's motivated by a safek, then you don't have to make a bracha.
Is it possible that if you assume that before you take truma, you go to the mikvah, and that's why you're a arum? I say that only half in jest. Half in jest.
I don't know. I don't think so. No, it could be that it's messy, so you don't want to close. I don't know. Could be many reasons why a person would like to take off their clothes. I have no
maybe idea. Because the question here is also Erev Shabbos. You mentioned Seir Ben Ashmoshes and Erev Shabbos. You have an issue of having to go to the mikveh and have a shower and get ready.
Okay. Maybe. We'd have to concentrate on that Mishnah in Demai to find out why this person is not wearing any clothes. It's an interesting point. Now, where'd it go? Here. So that was Abaye's answer. So the Gemara says, Abaye, not so fast, because I can think of another example of a case where I make a bracha on something that's required midarabanan, but it's really only required midarabanan because it's a suffix. And what is that? Yom Tov Sheni. By Yom Tov Sheni, the suffix divrayimu, ubay bracha. Back in the day when we used to live in Chutz La'aretz, right? Remember the old days? So on the second day of Pesach, we said Kiddush, and we made a bracha on it, right? We said, Mekadesh Yisrael, Zmani. What did we say? Okay. Anyways, we said a bracha on Kiddush on the second day. Why did we do that? The answer is that originally, at least, nowadays it's because Minhag Avoteinu V'Yadeinu. Okay, nowadays it's a Vaday, okay? But back in the day, it was a Safek. So why did the rabbis tell people that were living in let's say Syria, back in the day, they were living in Syria, and they were told, make a bracha, because we're not sure. We're literally not sure. They were literally not sure. That was the only reason they were making a bracha. On the second day, it was because they weren't sure if Pesach was Tedvav or Tedzayin. So they kept both, and they made a bracha on the second day. Not because, there was a requirement to do that, but because it was a Safek. So why would they make a bracha, though? There's no need to make a bracha on the second day. So the Gemara gives a fascinating answer.
Hello, this is Zule.
Because they wanted to make sure that people were not mezalzel in Yom Tov Sheni. You can imagine that people used to be upset and be skeptical about having to keep a second day of Yom Tov. I know it's hard to imagine that, but people used to feel that way at some point, apparently. And so the rabbis instituted that they had to make the bracha to make sure that everybody kept Yom Tov Sheni. This is, keep in mind, this is in the days when it was a suffix, not necessarily in the days when it was even for sure. So that's how we explain that. Rav Amar, Rav Ami Haaretz Ma'asrin Hen. So Rav gives a totally different answer to Abaye. What's Rav's answer? Well, not a totally different answer. Basically the same answer. Rav agrees with Abaye that you simply do not make a bracha. The only difference with Rav is that Rav says this only applies in cases where you have a rov saying that you shouldn't have to make the bracha. In other words, demai, according to Abaye, is simply a suffix. It's a regular suffix, and because it's a suffix, you don't make a bracha on it. Rav apparently is not satisfied with that. Rav says, no. The reason you don't make a bracha on demai is because it's rov am ha'aretz ma'asrin hen. It's not a regular suffix. It's a very minute suffix. The chances that no ma'aser was taken over here is very small. Rashi says, Rav Amar, suffik de divrei in bayi bracha. He says, in general, a suffik on a drabanan does require a bracha. Udmai afilu suffik lohave, ela chumra ba'alma derov ami aretz ma'asim. He says, demai is just a chumra ba'alma. That's all. That's why you have to be mafresh on demai, just as a chumra. Okay? All right. That's all the Gemara we're going to learn tonight. Now we're going to go on to the source sheets. Any questions before we move on to the source sheet?
Mm-hmm.
We're all good? All right, fine. So, I want to talk about these brachot. Okay, so we established that we have three brachot that we're concerned with. Number one is the original bracha, Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah. Then we have a second bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Lavotenu Bayamim Hem Bazman Hazeh, which is something that you say when you see Ner Chanukah. And then you have Shechianu. So we're going to concentrate mostly on the second bracha. That's the most interesting one to us tonight. But before we get there, I want to ask this question. When the Gemara says, sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit. When the Gemara says, why would you think that there would be no bracha on Ner Chanukah? Right? This is getting back to the point I made before. It seems that it's quite clear to the Gemara, in general, to Shas, that we make brachot on Mitzvot Derabanan. So why would anybody think that we would not make a bracha on Ner Chanukah? So let's think. Are there any cases where you have something that we do that's only Derabanan, but we have to do it, we always do it, but we do not make a bracha on it?
Leil Seder?
We make a bracha on Leil Seder, don't we? I mean, we make bracha. You mean on Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim itself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so two things. Number one, that's deraita. It's a good question why we don't make, Al Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, whatever. Almost every Akron has an answer to that question, but that's deraita. So the fact that we don't make it is even more surprising. I'm wondering, are there any things that we do midrabanan that everybody does it, but we don't make a bracha on it? Actually, Simon, you know what? Let's go back to Leil HaSeder. Is there anything during Leil HaSeder that we don't make a bracha on, but everybody does it?
When we read the Megillah, from a Sefer, let's say Eicha or on any Yom Tov, it's midrabanan if we're not reading from the Klach and we never make a bracha.
Okay, that's a fair example. So what is that? Why don't we make a bracha on Eicha the same way we make a bracha on
If we're reading from a klaf, we would.
So it's not so clear that if we read Eicha from a klaf, we would make a bracha. But let's say for argument's sake that we would. So why don't we all run out? Why don't we all run out and get our... Why doesn't everybody own a Megillat Eicha? Like we own a Megillat Esther? No?
That's why I wonder that question. That's why I thought of it.
Good. So this is a good question, Joe. Why don't we own Megillot Eicha? And why is there no mitzvah and bracha of Megillat Eicha. It's Tisha B'Av. It's pretty serious. Why not? Simon, what about you? During the Seder, is there anything that we do that everybody in the world does? Ashkenazi, Sfaradi, Dati Leumi, Charedi, everybody does it during the Seder, but we don't make a bracha on it.
Afikomen.
Afikomen. So that's
Afikomen.
Nilat Yadayim is an interesting example. Okay, that's a good example. I was thinking of one even more bullet.
How about Karpas?
You don't Karpas make a is a great Karpas is a great example. There's one more that might be even better, although Karpas is very, very good. We make three brachos in a row. Motzi, matzah, maror, and then we do this korech thing, right? Which everybody does. Correct. Everybody does it. But we don't make a bracha on it. In fact, you say zeker the mikdash kehilal, we make a point of not making a bracha on it. Why is that? So here's another example. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Chadamar Arava Yesod Neviim, Chadamar Arava Minhag Neviim. So this is in Sukkah. So what are we talking about over here when we're talking about Arava? What do you think?
Beating the Arava on the ground.
Yeah, this is Hoshana Rabba. Whatever it is that we do with the Arava, whether it's the beating, whether it's the encircling the bima, the idea of Arava is very old. In fact, the Gemara over here, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi have a machlokas whether or not it's Yesod Nevi'im or Minhag Nevi'im. The truth is that the concept of doing something with the Arava is Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. But let's leave that alone for a second. What we do with the Arava is either Yesod Nevi'im or Minhag Nevi'im. What's the difference between Yesod Nevi'im and Minhag Nevi'im? Either way, it's from the Nevi'im. What is the difference between them? So Rashi says, Yesod Nevi'im hu takanat Nevi'im achronim Chagai Zachariah u'Malachi shayu mimetaknei takanot Yisrael ba'anshei Knesset Hagdola. So according to him, Yesod Nevi'im means that this is something that the Nevi'im achronim who were in the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, there were three Nevi'im in the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, the original one, Chagai Zachariah u'Malachi, they instituted that we should do this. Okay, that's Yesod Nevi'im. What's Minhag Nevi'im? This is Hinhigu et ha'am v'lo tiknu lehem. This is something that they established as a minhag. In other words, they told, you know, this is a nice thing to do. We're going to start doing this from now on. But it wasn't a takana. What's the difference between whether it's a takana or a minhag? So Rashi says, Nafka mina delo baya bracha. Delek alamim, de tzivanu, dafil bracha lo tasor leita. Apparently, the difference between minhag nevi'im and yesod nevi'im is whether or not you make a bracha on it. So things like Korech, Karpas, the Arava, I forget the other examples that you all gave. Apparently, what are those?
Minhagim.
Minhagim. These are only Minhagim Nevi'im. What about things like Netilat Yadayim, Mikra Megillah, and apparently Hadlakat Nerot Chanukah? What are those? Apparently, those are Takanot. So it could very well be that over here, the Gemara is wondering, what's the story with Hanukkah? Is Hanukkah a Minhag Nevi'im or is it Yesod Nevi'im? Is it something that they wanted to establish as a Takana to say, you have to do this? There's a Tzivui over here. Or is it simply a Minhag? This is a nice Minhag that we're going to start doing, like reading Eicha, perhaps, on Tisha B'Av.
It couldn't be Yesod Nevi'im because it was long after the time of the Nevi'im.
Yeah, that's a good point. Somehow, though, it became a takana, right? Somehow, it still became a takana. They were metakin this, that it was required. It is a mitzvah. So it could be that that's what the Gemara is wondering about when it says that you have to make a bracha. That's the chiddush.
Can the rabbi explain how that's possible?
Which?
Who makes the takana, the Nevi'im?
In this case, it was the Sanhedrin.
They make a takana before we have the problem of Hanukkah.
Yafeh, and that's why the Gemara wonders, Mehechan Tzivanu, where's the Tzivui? And what's the answer? Lo Tasur. Who does Lo Tasur? The Sanhedrin. So they have the ability to make takanot. That was the surprise. The fact that Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah, we make a bracha on it, not surprising. The Nevi'im gave us that. The fact that we make a bracha on the Tilat Yadayim, okay, that's Shlomo HaMelech, he made it up. That's good enough for us. He also had some Nevi'im during his time. But Hanukkah, how do we have Betzivanu on Hanukkah? The answer is the Sanhedrin has the ability to do it. That's the Chiddush over here of Lo Tasur. And perhaps this is why the Gemara might not ask this question in other cases, but specifically by Hanukkah. All right, getting to the second bracha. All right, so this bracha of She'asa Nisim Lavoteinu, Bayami Mehem Bazman Hazeh. Here's my question.
Sorry, one second, Rabbi. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Adlakat Ner Shabbat, is it a takana or a minhag?
Takana.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah. So here's I'm trying to figure out there's so many different questions that we could ask about this bracha. There's technical questions that we could ask, which is, who makes this bracha? When do they make the bracha? In what circumstances do they make this bracha? The She'asa Nisim Lavoteinu. And another question that we might ask is She'asa Nisim Lavoteinu something that's specific to Hanukkah, or is it not?
We say it on Purim as well.
We do say it on Purim as well. And is it even specific to that? That's something that I want to drill down. So take a look. Certainly, we've seen this bracha before, and not just on Hanukkah, and not just on Purim. The Mishnah in Brachot says, Haroa makom shenasu bo nisim Yisrael, Omer baruch she'asa nisim lavoteinu b'makom hazeh. If you see a place where an ace was done, so you say, Baruch she'asa nisim lavoteinu b'makom hazeh. So it's not totally exclusive to Hanukkah then, right? This is a bracha that's a general bracha that apparently gets said on Hanukkah. So one question that we might ask might be, the way that we say it, is it said stam as a regular She'asa Nisim Lavoteinu bracha, the kind of bracha that we make when we come upon a place or a time that a nes was done, or is it somehow tailor made to Hanukkah? And what might the difference be? So let me take you through a big machloket rishonim, really big machloket rishonim about the technical nature of this bracha, and then we'll see maybe what the conceptual background for the Rishonim might be. And it might be related exactly to this question. So we'll start with the Ritva, but really we're starting with Rashi.
Not exactly the same bracha.
Why? Because it says b'makom hazeh?
It says b'makom hazeh, b'yamim ahem, b'zman hazeh. It's not the same bracha. It's for different things.
Okay, yeah. So let's see. That's fair, but let's see. So the Chidush HaRitva, so he quotes Rashi. We'll look at Rashi inside. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, because actually a quite amazing Rashi. You don't get to see this very often. It happens. You don't get to see it very often when he quotes his Rebbeim. Let's find it here. Okay. Can everybody see the shiur? The words here? So Rashi says, Haroa, ha'over bashuk v'roa be'achar chatzirot dolek. So you're walking in the market and you see in one of the chatzirot, in your neighbors, you see that the light is lit. He says, I found in the name of Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda, Shamar Mishem Rabbeinu Yaakov, that was Rashi's Rabbi, I believe, Deloz Kika Bracha Zu Ela Lami Shelo Hidlik Beveito Adayin, O Lioshev Basfina. Okay, so Rashi said a few things. He said, first of all, when do you say this bracha? You say this bracha simply when you see the candles of Hanukkah being lit, that they are lit, actually, in somebody else's chatzer. The question now becomes, well, what does that mean? So any chatzer, you belt it out? How many times on your way home? When do you do this? So he says, oh, very simple. This bracha was made only for people who have not yet done the mitzvah in their own house, or for people who are sitting on a boat. And so they see from far away, obviously. Now, why does he add in this part about sitting on a boat? Why is that relevant? Why a boat? And why does he bring up this case at all?
Maybe you can't light on a boat because it will blow out.
Yeah, you can't light on a boat also because it's not your house. So you can't light on a boat. And why does he bring that up? Because you're talking about somebody who is not going to light. So he says, either if you have not yet lit or if you're not going to light, then it's for you, okay?
And then the reason you can't light on a boat is because it's not your house,
right?
Or because the candles are going to blow out the minute
you... No, you could light in a way that the candles won't go out.
And why can't you light on a boat if you live on a boat?
Excuse me. It's a good question. That's there's a long maharshal about that, also with regards to trains and also with regards to planes. Not our inyan right now. It's a good question. So the Ritva reads this Rashi and he says, "Yafa pirish Rashi, v'shem rabotav." So what happens if you are going, you're on your way home, you're going home to do the mitzvah of Hadlakat Ner Chanukah, and on the way home you pass by some neighbors. So what do you do? Some say you go, you make the bracha then and there. And then what do you do? Something amazing. What do you do?
Make the bracha again.
When you get home, you say it again. That's one opinion. And some say, no. If you're on your way home, then you don't make the bracha of the roeh. Shas anisim lavateinu. Now, what about Ein Mavirin al Mitzvot? What about the fact that we're not supposed to skip Mitzvot? You're not supposed to lose your opportunity. If you have a Mitzvah, you should do it right away. Ein Mavirin al Mitzvot. You ignore that because it's better to say the Bracha with Hadlaka. Now, let's pause for just 1 second. The Ritva basically said that there are two positions. One position is that if you're on your way home, you should make the Bracha now and again later. And the other position says you do not make a Bracha now and you only make the Bracha later. Is there another possibility? Is there another?
Only make it outside.
You make both.
No, you only make it outside. You don't make it at home.
Later.
First time you see it.
So you make a bracha when you see it, and then later on, you do not make a bracha. Why would you not make a bracha again?
You made the bracha.
You made it.
You made the bracha already. Okay, good. The Ritva did not seem to entertain this possibility. Am I right? But when you read the words of Rashi, what impression do you get from Rashi himself? I don't know if you get a clear impression, but Rashi says,
somebody who hasn't lit yet.
Delohus kaka brachazu eda lemisha lo hidlik beveto adayin. Oh, liyoshev basfina. Is Rashi saying that you're going to make the bracha now and then again later? It's hard to tell. He definitely doesn't make it clear, right? But it's very possible that Rashi says that you only make it once. The Ritva is the one who brings up this possibility of making it twice. Okay. Now, before we continue to the other Rishonim, I do want to point out the Taz.
Very clear that you wouldn't make it twice.
Because it says Adayin. So the meaning that you are going to.
Adayin, you didn't do the Hadlaka yet.
Rav Dani, Rashi does say, Shalos Kakalo.
Meaning that you are going to do it.
You're going to do, of course, no, everybody agrees, of course, that you're going to light when you get home. And you're going to make a lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. And if it's the first night, you're going to say a shechianu. The only question is, do you say shas anisim lavoteinu again? So the Ritva seems to say that if you say it the first time, you definitely say it the second time. And the other position says, no, you only say it the second time. But what about saying it the first time and not the second time? Ritva doesn't entertain that possibility, but it's certainly, you know, actually extremely likely possibility. Now, The one who kind of diffuses all of this tension, right, is the Taz. Because the Taz thinks that we're overdoing it in Rashi. You can make of this what you will. The Taz says, Birashi Katuv Matzati Vishim Rabbin Yitzvah, Berhuda Shamar Vishim Rabbin Yaakov, Dolos Kiko, etc., etc., etc. And he says, Milashon Adayin Mashma Lechora Afa Pisha Chaka Chedik Bebeto. Says, everybody reads Rashi as saying that, okay, we're talking about somebody who is on his way home. And he's going to light in his house because it says Adayin. But he's not convinced. Avalatur lo pirish kach bedvarav. Ela lashon Adayin lav davka. Digam achar kach lo yadlik. Valkor kach medam auto li yoshev basfina. Dimistama lo yadlik kol alayla. Avalim yadlik achar kach bot alayla. Lo yivarech ariyah. Kevin yuchal yivarech achar kach al hadlaka. So the Taz, like I said, he diffuses the whole thing by saying that if we read Adayin as lav davka, as meaning, okay, this is a person who will not be lighting, and the Taz buttresses his point by saying, okay, that's why Rashi compares this to somebody who's on a sfinah, because a person on the sfinah is not going to make the bracha at all, because he's not going to be lighting at all. Now, we didn't read it that way, but the Taz says, if you read it that way, then Rashi actually is firmly in the second camp. Rashi believes that you do not make a bracha if you are planning on doing it when you get home. Now, I personally think this is a very dachuk way of reading Rashi. Why would you? I mean, you don't have to read into Rashi when you read the word adayin. That's what he says. It's not a you know intense reading of Rashi when you say that when Rashi writes adayin, you're talking about somebody who's going to do it. You agree with me or disagree with me? Okay, well, we'll leave this Taz to the side. It's a collector's item, as Rav Schechter says. It's a collector's item to explain Rashi in this way. Now, the major position amongst the rest of the Rishonim, all in the school of the Rashba and the Ritva and the Ran, is the second position that was mentioned in the Ritva. The Rashba says, Mistabra, it's clear to him, he says it makes sense, that we're talking about v'shelo hidlik. And this is another important part, v'lo hidliku alav b'toch beito. V'eino atid l'adlik halayla. Rashba says, we're talking about when you fulfill three conditions. Number one, you did not yet light. Number two, nobody is lighting for you in the house. And number three, you are not planning on lighting. Then you make the bracha taroeh. So it's just for the person who's on the sfina, who also, by the way, doesn't even have a family to make to light candles for him. Halav hachi ein tzarech levarech. D'lo matzinu yotze min ha-mitzvah chozer mevarech al ha-ra'iyah. Because there's no such thing as doing the mitzvah and then also making the berachat ha-ra'iyah afterwards. V'yesh me'avvata de'pirshu da'af ha-pishu mandikin alav betoch beitu tzarech levarech al ha-ra'iyah v'hein lemal me'yis mochu. Says, and there are some who say that even though you're going to light at home, you still make the bracha, and he says, there's no basis for that. The other one in the position of the Rashba is the Ran. The Ran says, Haron erchan etzarech levarech, ha'over bashuk v'achat ha'chatzer ner dolek, u'mistabra delo eskatab rachazu, elo misha lo yidik lo yidik lalav betoch beto, ve'eno, same words as the Rashba, shelo matinu yotze v'mitzvah, she'yitchayev lachzor u'levarech ala re'iyah. Almost the same line. Though we don't have a thing where a person does the mitzvah and then has to go back and make a bracha on the re'iyah. Now, does this language bother anybody? The argument that the Rashba and the Ran are making? Does it bother anybody? It's okay if it bothers you. It's allowed to bother you.
It bothers me that there's a person who's planning not to make do the mitzvah. In general, I have no plans to light the Hanukkah candle.
Well, maybe he's on a boat or he's on a plane. And he doesn't have a family, he doesn't have a house.
But if Rashi gave the two possibilities, there must be something different with the first person vis-a-vis the one on the boat.
Okay, let's leave Rashi aside for a second. What did the Rashba and the Ran say? They said, it's clear to them that you only make the Berchat HaRe'iyah separate from your lighting. If you're not planning on lighting, you haven't lit, and you have nobody in your house to light for you. So, and why? Why? Because he says it's inconceivable that you should make the Berchat HaRoah and then do the mitzvah. Right? Or the opposite, rather. It's inconceivable that you would do the mitzvah and then go ahead and do the Berachat HaRoah again. What is he trying to say over here? What's the implication here?
Is he separating the two mitzvot, the two brachot, that you can't do one without the other? Or you, once you've done the second one, you're not allowed to go back and do the first one?
Well, actually, if you look carefully over here, the Rashba doesn't really seem to be arguing with Rashi. He seems to be arguing with someone else. Because over here, who are these Rav Vasa? Who are these rabbis? What are they saying? They're saying that even if you make the bracha, all the brachot, all three brachot in your house, then you go for a stroll with your wife outside. And as you're walking by the neighbors, you see their nice candles. And what do? You make the bracha taria again. That's what he seems to be arguing against. That's what the other rabbis say, which is even more amazing. So this is another shita. This says that not only do you make a bracha taroa when you see candles before you light, But you also make a bracha d'aroha when you see the candles, even after you light.
And if I see five of my neighbors have lit, do I make the bracha five times?
That's a good question also. That's a really, really good question. We're going to see. We're going to see that there might be somebody who says that, which sounds astonishing, but there might be somebody who says that. But what interests me here is not just this other position, but how the Rashba and the Ran argue with that position. They find it inconceivable that you're going to be yotze the mitzvah and then go ahead and make a bircha tara'iyah after being yotze the mitzvah. Why is that inconceivable? What is so strange about that? What seems strange about that? Can anybody put their finger about that? Why does that seem strange to them?
You don't do brachot lashav.
Okay, but it's not lashav. They're seeing a Nerot Chanukah. They want to say Shas Anisim Lavotena by Amim Mehem Bazman Hazeh. They're excited. They're happy. Why are they not allowed to do that? What do the Rashba and the Ran seem to be assuming about the Birchat Haroah that says that they're not allowed to do this?
Can I draw an analogy here? If I have made a bracha in my sukkah in the morning, I ate in my sukkah in the morning, and later in the afternoon, I visit a friend and I have a piece of cake or something and I have a bite to eat in a sukkah, I'm going to make the bracha on the sukkah again. So this is not the only case where I'm making the bracha and a mitzvah twice.
That's true. But here, let me ask you a question. Is anybody here saying that you can light your Hanukkah candles, make a Lahadik Ner Shel Hanukkah, and then light your Hanukkah candles again and make another Lahadik Ner Shel Hanukkah on the same night? No, nobody's saying that. What these other Rishonim are saying is that you can make a Birchat HaRoeh more than once. You can be excited about the candles. And the only reason that the Rashba and the Ran say you're not allowed to do that is not because in principle it's wrong, but because you've already been Yotze the Mitzvah. What are they assuming about the Birchat HaRoeh? That we might not have assumed otherwise. It seems to me that they're assuming that the Birchat HaRoeh is connected to your mitzvah itself. It's not simply a Birchat HaRoeh on seeing nice candles or on seeing recognizing a nes. It seems to be intertwined with your mitzvah of Hadlakat Neirot, which is why they say that once you've already been Yotze the mitzvah, you can no longer say the Birchat HaRoeh. That only makes sense if the Birchat HaRoeh, which is not normally connected to a mitzvah, right? If I see a beautiful, a large sea, if I see a beautiful animal, that's not connected to any mitzvah. That's a normal Birchat HaRoeh. So I should be able to make the bracha over and over. But here, once I'm Mekayim the mitzvah, I'm not. So we'll go back and we'll sharpen this soon. But first I want you to see the Rambam. So where does the Rambam fall out on all of this? So it's not totally clear. Let's jump to what he says over here. He says, "V'kol aroy atav lo birech mevarch shtayim, shas anisim lavatenu v'shechianu." So what does he say? What does the Rambam say? Just simply, if you see it and you didn't yet make a bracha, then you say two brachot, right? You say Shas Anisim and you say Shachianu, which means that he's saying, okay, first of all, this is only for people who have not made the bracha yet. Okay?
Where does he say that?
V'chol aroy ota v'lo birech mevarech shtayim. Shas Anisim l'avotenu v'shachianu. The Magid Mishnah jumps in and he says, Pirish Rabbeinu, Haroi Atav Lo Birach Da'ato, Zal Shafa Pishiyata Min HaMitzvah Kegon Shehidliku Alav B'toch Beito, Mivarech. Says, what happens that if he was Yotzei the Mitzvah, Kegon Shehidliku Alav B'toch Beito, Mivarech. How does the Magen Mishnah understand what the Rambam is talking about? It says the Rambam is talking about a situation where the person has a house, and he has people lighting for him in the house. And they did Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah. They probably also did Shas Anisim Lavoteinu. But he wasn't there. So he was Yotze his mitzvah of Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah because they did it for him. But he hasn't yet seen the candles yet. So what does he do? He says, Sha'as ha'nisim la'vateinu ba'yimim ha'im bezman hazeh and shachiyanu. Does this make sense? He has not yet seen the candles. He's been yotzei the mitzvah because they did it for him. But he was, let's say he was on a boat, okay? He was on a boat. He has people in his house who are doing the mitzvah for him. And so he was yotzei the mitzvah with them. But he now sees candles from far away. So he makes Sha'as ha'nisim la'vateinu. Does this make sense? Makes sense. Who disagrees? So the Magen Mishnah says, well, the Rashba disagrees. How do we know the Rashba disagrees? So he quotes the Rashba. The Rashba says, we have to be talking about where nobody lit for him. Why? Because it can't be that you were yotzei the mitzvah and now you make a birchat haroeh. The Rashba, according to the Magen Mishnah, says, even if you never even saw a Hanukkah candle, but somebody in your house took care of you, you now cannot say the Birchat HaRoeh anymore. Why? Why can't you say the Birchat HaRoeh anymore?
Because you were yotze the mitzvah.
Because you already yotze the mitzvah. Now, again, to me this seems surprising. It's a Birchat HaRoeh. It's not something that you see. But according to the Rashba, it's completely intertwined with the fact that you're yotze the mitzvah. And the Rambam seems to disagree. Rambam seems to be in the camp of Rashi. That's how the Magen Mishnah understands it. But it could be that the Rambam goes even further. Who was it before that asked? I think, Dad, it was you that asked, what happens if I see it many times? So many people don't know, but the Rambam actually wrote tshuvas. People sent him questions and he responded. He didn't just write the Arach HaZakah. He didn't just write the Perash HaMishnayot. He also wrote tshuvas. And they're not that long. So for example, here's a short one. What happens if a person already did Ner Chanukah and then he wants to do it again? Or he sees more Nerot Chanukah. Can you do what I said before? Can you light Chanukah candles and then an hour later light them again? Now, you have an issue in terms of the Zmanim, but let's leave that aside. What does the Rambam say? It says, Adavar bezeh talui bekavanat ha-mevarech kamo b'shar brachot. Im hayta kavanato lahadik nerot har bezeh achar zeh brecha achad lekulam. If you intended to do multiple lightings, so then you just make one bracha at the beginning for all of them. But then he says, v'im berech v'hidlik v'achar kach nizdamen lo ner acher lahadik. The Rambam explains, this isn't a crazy case where the guy just decides he's going to light candles all the time. No. What happened is that, let's say it was night number 5, and he got one candle. So he lights that candle. And then let's make it simple. 4 more candles show up. So he makes a new bracha and lights the other candles. But Yivarech brachot acherot, v'chein, afilu nizdam lo mea, zachar zeh. But then the Rambam makes it even more complicated. He says, even if you get 100, in other words, the more the better, right? Because that's actually the position of the Rambam, is to do the more the better. And then he says, and the same is true of Birchat HaRoeh, which means, in fact, if you go for a stroll on a Chanukah night, it seems that the Rambam would say that unless you have expressed Kavanah not like this, you'll be making brachot over and over as you pass windowsill after windowsill. Now, keep in mind, the Rambam lived in places where I'm not sure how many Jews there were, but this could get pretty difficult here in Eretz Israel. No? Now, of course, you can have in mind at the beginning that my Birchat HaRoeh is supposed to cover all of the Hanukkah candles that I see, and that's probably what you should do. But theoretically, at least, according to the Rambam, you could end up making the bracha over and over. Now, the distinction that I've been trying to make up until now is actually made clear by Rav Avram Erlanger, one of the great Achronim, is still alive, Shlita. So he says, "Birkat Sha'as Anisim Yesh Lachkor." You have to figure this out. Im Yisoda Birkat Haroim Uketumatzina BeBrachot Haroim Makom Shnei Sevonisim Yisrael Amar Brach Sha'as Anisim Lavatina BeMakom Hazeh. Is the Birkat Haroah that we say on Nerot Chanukah, is it the same as a regular Birkat Haroah? It's just stam. It was made for Ner Chanukah because we're celebrating the Nes right now. Kamokin Aroa Ner Chanukah Shemazkir Anisim Shabavram Nitkanah Dakan Echshav Ki Aroa Amakom Shnei Sevonis. It's just that whenever you see a Chanukiah, it reminds you of a nes, and that's why you make the bracha. Or Yisoda bracha chadasha al ner Chanukah, v'ikra al hadlaka. V'adin shechivu b'zegam aroy. It's just that this bracha was made specifically for when you light your Chanukah candles, and there was a made auxiliary. There's an auxiliary manifestation of it when you don't light candles and you're not planning on lighting candles, and you only see the candles. In which case, it's tied up, like I said, with the mitzvah itself. And then he says there's also a third possibility. There's two separate ones. If you're going to light, then it is a bracha that you make on the lighting. That it's an extra bracha that you make when you light. You make a bracha on the lighting itself, and then you make a bracha on the pirsumei nisa that occurs because of the lighting. And then there's a second brachat aroyim, which is the same as everything else. So there's a three possibilities over here. Now, who fits into each one of these possibilities? So, yesh makom, there's a reason to say that Rashi, and definitely Rambam, in the extreme version of it, fit into the first category. You make this bracha as many times as you may. Well, let me rephrase that. Rashi would say that you say it the first time you say Ne'erot Chanukah, whether that's at home or whether it's on the way home. But you only make it once, because that's what you do, right? When you see something amazing, you make the bracha once. The Rashba disagrees completely. The Rashba says, no. This is a bracha that was made primarily for lighting the candles. You light the candles, then you make the bracha. If it happens to be that you're not going to be lighting the candles, then there's a separate non-Chanukah bracha. It's not a Chanukah bracha. It's not specific to Chanukah. It's specific to Nisim. If people lit Chanukah candles on a random day in Elul, and it somehow reminded you of Nes Chanukah, you would make the bracha then. You'd make a Sha'asa Nisim Lavotenu. Not by Yamim Ahem Bazman Hazeh, maybe, but if you could somehow connect it, I don't know. But because it's not a bracha that was made for Chanukah, according to the Rashba, it was just made, it's not even made, it's just a bracha that you would normally make whenever you encounter a place that a nes was made.
And can the Rashba,
yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to ask a quick question related to it. If I see a rainbow and I make a bracha, and I see a rainbow a half hour later, do I make another bracha, and a half hour later I make another bracha?
Most birchot haroah like that are once a day. I believe that's the case for rainbows. It's definitely the case for thunder and for lightning, so I assume it's the case also for rainbows. And I think for large bodies of water, it's like once a year or once a month. I can't remember now.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Tosfot over here ask an interesting question, which I think ties in. Tosfot asks, "Haro ner shel Chanukah tzarich levarich b'shar mitzvot kegon alulav v'sukkah lo takinu levarich leroeh." Why don't we make a birchat haroah sha'asa nisim lavoteinu on the mitzvah of sukkah or lulav? Do they not celebrate miracles?
No, they don't.
Well, really, does sukkah not celebrate a miracle?
People lived in the Sukkot in the desert. They needed a place to live. Do you call that a miracle?
Okay, that's an interesting point. But then again, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that the reason that we sit in Sukkot is because of the Anani HaKavod.
Okay, that's correct.
So then that would be that would be an ace. So he gives some strange answers. I found it very strange. I'm still struggling with them. His first answer is Elagabe Ner Chanukah Mishum Chavivut Anes. Says Ner Chanukah is different because of our love for the Nes. Very interesting. Why do we have more Chavivut HaNes for the Nes of Chanukah than, let's say, for the Nes of Sukkot? Any suggestions?
It's easy.
Okay. What? Oh, that's the answer? It's easy?
It's easy. It's easy. It's an easy, it's an easy mitzvah.
It's an easier than Sukkah.
Yeah. Easier than Pesach.
Well, I mean, Sukkah, it could, you know, you can sit in a Sukkah that's not even yours, and then it's not very hard.
Chanukah, we did. Sukkah happened to us.
Oh, so that's the main thing that I was thinking, what Ami said, which is that, you know, we didn't have to light the candles, right? We chose to look for shemen that was tahor. We didn't have, first of all, we didn't have to find shemen that was tahor, or we didn't have to even light the candles at all. We chose to do that, and Hashem reciprocated by making an ace for us. So there is apparently a special chavivut anes to Chanukah, even more than the other nisim. That's a very strong possibility. But he gives another answer, by the way. So for those people, they'd be out of luck, right? They wouldn't have anything to do if they wouldn't say Sha'asa nisim lavotenu, which I guess you can't say for a sukkah, because you could always sit in another person's sukkah, but you can't light, you can't be yotzei with another person's lighting of Hanukkah candles in their house. There are ways of doing it, of course, mishtatef b'pruta, et cetera, but that's his other answer. I think it's connected because the Sha'asa nisim, according to the Tosfot, right, he seems to be saying that it is directly tied up with the specific nes of Hanukkah. And, you know, maybe may or may not be connected directly to the mitzvah of the actual lighting. It's not exactly clear. Can't be sure. The two study might actually determine that. Right? Because if you take the first position in Tosfot, then it's really just a nes, right? You make a berachat haroah just like a regular nes. It's just that this is a super good nes. But according to the second position, that it's made for people who cannot be mekayim the mitzvah, it's almost like a modified version of the Rashba, that the Sha'asa Nisim Lavotenu is actually almost like a Birchat HaMitzvah. It's for people who can't do the mitzvah themselves. So they have a Birchat HaRoeh, which is interesting. Before we go on, actually, I want to just jump to the Shulchan Aruch so you guys can get some clarity over here. I know you're all wondering, so what's the halacha? What do we actually do? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Mishalo idlik veino atid laidlik boto laila." If a person has not yet lit and does not plan to light tonight, and ein madlikin alav b'toch beito, nobody's going to light for him. Kesharo aner Chanukah mevarich shas anisim. Uvelarishon mevarich gam shechiyanu. Okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So who does the Shulchan Aruch paskening like? Clearly, almost with the same words. Do we remember which Rishon said this? This was the Rashba. This was the Rashba and the Ran, who all clearly said that the only circumstance that you make this bracha is if you have not and will not. I should say the only time you make this bracha independent of your own lighting is if you have not and will not and don't have anybody lighting for you. The Mishnah Berurah comments. He says, since you can make the bracha later on, you don't make the bracha now. And he says, "V'yesh poskim d'savri d'afilu yodeh shemadlikin alav b'veito kevin du ba'atzmo einu madlik v'gam einu mishtatef v'machem v'pripriti tzarech l'verach al ria l'odot al anes v'gam l'verach al shechiyanu." The Mishnah Berurah comments and says, you know, there is that one case that's really hard to swallow that you don't make a bracha. Which case am I talking about? Where you have not yet lit, you're not planning to light, but somebody's lighting for you. So that means that somebody made a Sha'asa Nisim Lavotenu, which is a Berachat HaRoeh, for you, and you're not going to make it on your own. So he says, Yesh Poskim that say that in that situation, you do make the Bracha. But he says, nevertheless, since it's a major machloket rishonim, safek brachot lahakel, you do not make the bracha. So that's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins. You never make this bracha unless you have no one making the bracha for you. Now, this actually might come up more often than we think, right? If a family travels on a plane together and they're going somewhere and they're going to arrive in a place where there's no one to light for them there. So let's say you're going on vacation to Honolulu, okay? And you're on the plane during the time of Zman Hadlakat Nerot Chanukah. Or let's say even better, you're in a taxi cab. You've reached the airport and you're in a taxi driving through the Jewish quarter of Honolulu. And you're going to get home at 12:30 at night, and you know the kids are going to be asleep, and there's no one to do the bracha with you, and there's no one to, you don't even have a menorah with you. So in that circumstance, as you drive by somebody's house, that's the circumstance where you make a bracha on the Neirot Chanukah that you see. But in almost every other circumstance, you don't, because you can almost always have somebody making a bracha for you. Unless you don't have any family at all or no house. Okay, any questions? Halacha l'maisa? Okay, so let's go back. Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
That's interesting application.
Right. So let's go back for a second and see if there are any other applications of this chakira. Okay? Or actually, let me ask a question about this. They're going to ask. What happens if you're not even going to see a menorah? You're in jail, okay? You're in jail and there's no one to light for you, and you're not going to see a menorah at all. And it's the first night of Chanukah. What do you do? So, you know, let's say I just stop asked you. What do you do? What do you think? What would you think would be the answer? No.
Sounds like you have no way of doing the mitzvah.
Yeah, certainly no way of doing the mitzvah. No way you can say Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah. Here's the question. Can you say Shachianu? And can you say Sha'asa Nisim Lavatena Bayamim Hayim Bezman Hazeh?
I would think that they both would be linked to the lighting.
You would think so. No. Yeah, you would certainly think so. But can they be unlinked? So surprisingly, the Meiri actually deals with this. He says, Misha Ein Lo Lahadlik Veino B'makam She'ef Sho Lo Lirot. So you're not going to light and you're not going to see. Yesh omrim shemavarech la'atzmo sha'asa nisim shachiyanu balayla rishona v'sha'asa nisim b'chol ha'leilot v'advarim nirin, and he thinks this is right. And he says, v'cheinu, if he also saw that people say, v'shalo hidlik adayinu balo b'toch yimei chanukah sha'layla rishona shumadik mevarech zman. That's a separate position. But he wants to say that you actually do make a bracha, both sha'asa nisim and shachiyanu, even without lighting, and even without seeing. Now, how could that be?
The brachot are related to the chag, to the yom tov, rather than to the lighting itself.
Yefeh. That's what you have to say in the Meiri. You have to say that the brachat haroah can be said because it's sha'asa nisim lavotenu bayamihim ahem bazman hazeh. It's about this man. And the Shechianu as well. The Shechianu is connected to the Zman. Who said that the Shechianu... Okay, here, let me ask this question. Is the Shechianu on the bracha, on the mitzvah of Neirot Chanukah, or is it on Chanukah atzmo?
Based on what we just said, sounds like Chanukah atzmo.
Do we have any...
Or at least it could be.
Do we have any precedent for this? When else can we say Shechianu?
Whenever we make Kiddush on Yontif, when I make Kiddush on Yontif, I'm not lighting candles, but I make Kiddush and I say Shechianu at the end.
Right. So isn't the Shechianu on the Kiddush? Isn't that how it works? Of course not, right? There's no Shehecheyanu on Kiddush. In fact, what happens if you forget to say Shehecheyanu on the first night of Pesach, and then you remember, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon the next day? What's the answer?
You say the Shehecheyanu.
Shehecheyanu. At that moment, you say Shehecheyanu. The Mishnah Berurah actually brings this up. The Shaar Tzion brings this up. Here. Hamadlig Balel Rishon Mavarek Shalosh Brachot. Lahadig Ner Chanukah Shas Anisim Shehecheyanu. Vim lo birech zman Balel Rishon. If you didn't make the Berachat Shehecheyanu on the first night, then he says, you make it on the second night, or kishe yizkor. What does he mean by o kishe yizkor? What does that mean? Mishnah Berurah says, Ritzon Lamar, kishe yizkor b'shar halelot b'shat hadlaka. Oh. So the Mishnah Berurah says, not so fast. You say it, based on the Levush, he quotes the Levush, you say it on a different night while you're lighting. So it means on the next night, or the third night, or the fourth night, or the fifth night. Vim niskar achar adlaka, eino mevarech b'layla zu'od. Levush says, no, don't read too deeply into the Shulchan Aruch. If you forget to say Shehecheyanu, you say Shehecheyanu on a different night during the hadlaka. But if you look in the Shaar Tzion is the footnotes on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, it's also the Mishnah Berurah, it says, B'shem Yeshuat Yaakov, what happens if it's on the eighth night? What happens if you remember after you light on the eighth night? Says it could be that it's just like all the other days that you say Shehecheyanu the next day or whenever it is that you remember it. So you should be able to say it even after lighting candles. It's just the chatchila that the rabbi set it up with the hadlaka. Okay, and he says, and I think that this is correct because I found it in the Me'iri. Now, he doesn't even make a big deal about the fact that the Meiri doesn't say only that you say Shehecheyanu, but that you even say Sha'as HaNisim, which means that according to the Meiri, it's not only the Shehecheyanu that you can make up, but you can even make up Sha'as HaNisim lich'ora, even after lighting, right? Let's say, nafkamina, let's say you did the Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, and then you said Shehecheyanu, and then you lit. And then an hour later, you realize you didn't say Sha'as HaNisim. And your candles are already out, and you're ready to go to bed. You're not going outside anymore. Lich'ora, according to the Meiri, what happens?
You can still say it.
Lich'ora, you can still say Sha'as HaNisim Lavatina by Yemim Hem Bezman Hazeh. It's a very, very surprising thing. Why? Well, certainly, if it's not a pure Birchat HaRoeh, but it's something that's ingrained in Chanukah. So this is another Shita, by the way. This is another position. This is a position that says that the Bracha is a pure Neis Chanukah Bracha, not even connected to the Neirot Chanukah. It's just that the rabbis felt it was convenient to put all the Brachot in one place. But you can even make this bracha when you're not in view of the Neirot themselves. Why? Because all you're saying is, thank God for the Nisim of Chanukah. You don't have the kli, you don't have the instrument that's supposed to remind you of it, but you can still say the bracha, according to the Meiri. Very surprising, no? See, it's late, so why don't we end with the following point. The Berachat Avraham, same Berachat Avraham before. He wonders, he says, here, L'chorei HaKashali, K'etzad Yesh Lomar Berachat Shas Anisim al Ariyah Kol Yom. This is the Gemara's question. The Gemara said, how can you say Shas Anisim Lavoteinu every single day? Hakol Brachat Aroyim Ein Mevarchim Ela Achat L'Shoshim Yom. So this is what I was saying before. Usually, a Brachat Aroyim you only say once every 30 days. Ayim Shulchan Aruch V'Ketzim Mevarchim Ona Pan L'Machar. Now we saw the Gemara answered this question. The Shani, the Gemara said it's a nace every single day. But he says that's not good enough because it's the same nace every day. So why are you any surprised? By that logic, you should, you know, what about the fact that it's the same large body of water that you come back to every day? So why can't you make the bracha every single time you see the large body of water? So what does he have to say? Shani neis Hashemen shenit chadesh kol yom. It's a new neis every single day. Vaya kol yom neis chadash lefizeh lokash amidi. V'shapei yeshlomer da have a berachat aroyim mekomo shamu neis kol yom meita. Says that's what the Gemara is saying. He's not just saying that it's a neis every single day. It's a new neis every day. U'pirish Rashi shavei kol shmon hidliku mina pach. Because every single day they lit from the same pach shemen. Lefizeh bracha b'chol yom al neis acher shel oto yom. Even though it was the same style, it's a new nace. Shuv. Okay, so how do we explain this? I want to just clarify. What is he talking about? What does he mean? What do you guys think he means when he says, or what can we make it mean when he says it's a new nace every single day? Because I would think they would have to mean that it's a new kind of nace every single day. Otherwise, the answer is not an answer.
I don't get that. Why should we have to assume that it's a new kind of nes?
I would think because otherwise it's similar to seeing a large body of water every single day. In which case, you know, it's a large body of water. I'm excited. I should make a bracha. But apparently it takes me 30 days to re-energize that bracha. So would you think that it would be the same for a nes? I saw the nes today. I should need another 30 days in order to be impressed by the nace tomorrow. And don't tell me, no, it's not that way because it's a nace. And so it's always inherently surprising. Because by that token, then it wouldn't need to be a new nace. It could be the same nace that takes place for 8 days, and I make another bracha on it every single day. So it would seem to me that it has to be a new kind of nace every single day. No? Unless you all disagree with me.
I'll go out on a limb and disagree.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else would have the nerve to do it, but I'm entitled.
Fair enough. So I was wondering, I was thinking, you know, there's the famous question, the Beis Yosef's question about the 8 days. Why do we have 8 days instead of seven? After all, it was supposed to be lit for 1 day. So the first day wasn't a miracle, right? So there are many different answers to that. And there's two kinds of answers that you know run along the same lines. One answer says that a different amount, that it was only an eighth of it that was burned on the first day. That's how it worked, right? An eighth was burned on every single day. In which case it was a miracle on the first day. If that's the case, then it's definitely not a new nace. It was the same one every single day, right? On the first day, an eighth was burned. On the second day, another eighth was burned.
No, on the first day was a nace that an eighth was burned. And on the second day, it was another nace that an eighth was burned. And on the third day, again, it was a nace that only an eighth was burned.
Okay.
Why would I assume that the same thing would happen again and again and again? Each night was a nace that only a certain amount was burned.
You wouldn't. And it's great that it's a nace. I just don't think it's new enough to make a new bracha. But we can agree to disagree on that. But what happens if we do, let's say, I was thinking about this before, I have to get this straight in my head. What happens if we say something else happened? Let's say, for instance, what happens if we would say that on the first day, I don't know, let's say half the oil was burned, right? What happened the second day? Half of that half was burned. What happened the third day? Half of that half was burned. What happens? Now it's a more impressive nace every single day because you have less oil each day being used to power the entire menorah.
What you're doing
is claims.
What do you say, Ischazgal?
Nobody's claiming that. Nobody's claiming that an eighth of that day's oil burned. We're claiming that an eighth of the original amount of oil burned every day.
So I'm claiming over. So what I'm saying is that 50% of the oil of the original oil burned on the first day, even though it should have been 100%, and then the second day, 25% of the original oil burned, even though it should have taken 100%, and then the third day, 12.5%, et cetera, et cetera. A kind of Zeno's paradox of Nais.
Yeah, it is. It does reach that the arrow paradox. But who? What? On what basis do we say that?
On what basis do we say that it was only an eighth? There's no basis.
Right.
It sounds to me like you're giving a grade to each Nais. Yes. In the example that you gave, 50% was used. That's a Nais. The next day, only 25% was used. Oh, that's an even greater Nais.
Yeah.
The next day, 12.5% was used. Oh, wow. That's even more amazing. And by the time you get to the eighth day, maybe 1/64th or 1/128th was used. Do the math. You're going to say, oh, maybe I should make an extra bracha or an additional bracha.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, oh, yesterday there was a Nais that only 50% of it was burned. Today, even if we got the Nais from yesterday, it wouldn't be enough. Yesterday's Nais would not be enough to help us today. If it was an eighth every single day, so then it's the same Nais over and over. I'm suggesting you need a bigger Nais every single day in order to be able to make a new bracha. That's what I would think. Okay. Take it or leave it. You can discuss this with your families in 25 days, if you remember it. We can continue to discuss this. I thank everybody for coming. There's more sources, but it's late, so we'll stop here.
Yes,
Shakoach, everybody.
Shakoach.